Now, I hope everyone had a good Christmas and New Year's break as we all kind of ramp up for school to start again. I realize we're not all on that school schedule, but I think enough of us are aware of it that it kind of affects us too. And I'm curious, did you do anything out of the ordinary over the last 2 weeks? I want you to think about it for like 4 seconds. I want you to tell your neighbor. So look to someone beside you. If it's someone who knows you really well, like your partner or spouse or fiance or whoever they are, or your sister or brother, try to talk to someone else about it. So someone, and tell them something that you did out of the ordinary. You guys have like 12 seconds for this. All right, that's 12 seconds up. Now, I'm really curious, because I didn't get to talk to anybody. Was there anything worth repeating? Like, did you talk to someone that actually did something out of the ordinary that is worth sharing? Nope. Not over here. Yeah. Anyone else? We are such a fun group of people. Wow. Someone had a sleepover over here. Nice. Shannon played pickleball? I could see Shannon crushing it. You know? At the senior center. Are you old enough to be in that space, Shannon? Rounded up. Okay. That's what I thought. Any last opportunity to share before I move on? Tyler, you slept in. Wow. Look at him go. He's usually awake at 4 because he doesn't sleep good. So 7's better than 4. Way to go. I'm proud of you. Anyways, today is kind of a one-off message, so I'm going to pick the kind of fruit that's low-hanging on the tree in January and talk a little bit about New Year's things. January, traditionally at Greenfield, we talk about our church mission and vision, and so we will be doing that. We are going to talk a little bit about who we are as a community, what we value here at Greenfield, and our mission and our values. But today, we'll talk about New Year's, and then next week, we are lucky enough that Lindell Campbell will be in town, and we're blessed to hear her speak. So next week, Lindell Campbell will be around. She's the North American Baptist, so our denomination. She's the NAB field director in southern Brazil, and she's a professor at the Rio Grande do Sul Baptist Theological Seminary down there. So we're excited to have her with us next week to share as well. And so speaking of New Year's, if you are on social media, maybe Instagram or Facebook for some of you older people or whatever, all the maybe newer people are on, younger people, there's this trend going around where people are like, what did I do in 2024? And it's kind of them like thinking about like maybe they didn't do a lot or get a lot done. And so they kind of made videos like celebrating the small successes that they would have had. So like little things that maybe don't seem that significant, but to them were a big deal. And they would make videos about these things that they did in 2024 that they learned and they grew. And so then I decided this morning that I would do my own video and share with you guys too. So like things that I didn't do a lot in 2024, but I did something because I wanted to share this video with you guys. So pack up your car, put a hand in your heart, say whatever you feel, be wherever you are. We ain't angry at your love. You're the greatest thing we've lost. The birds are still singing, your foes are still fighting, the boards are still creaking, the leaves are still. Again, I said not a very productive 2024 for me, and I did it all in jeans. So 2024 was a year, it's done, and we're looking at this new year. And so generally when we look at New Year's, we kind of think about things that we would like to incorporate in our year. And maybe in 2025, you want to learn how to surf. And I can tell you, I can teach you. Like, I got those moves figured out, right? That's all it takes. But so then I was wondering, like, what are some fun New Year's resolutions that people have? that exist. And so I kind of did a Google search about, like, what are some fun New Year's resolutions that people have chosen over the years? And so there's this one family that tried to eat the alphabet. Now, they didn't literally try to eat the alphabet, but they tried to every day start with a letter and only eat foods, or like the majority of your meal existed around that letter. So for A, for breakfast, they would eat like applesauce and granola. And for lunch, they would have maybe ahi tuna or avocado, and this idea that they eat through the alphabet. And they said that worked until their kids got bored on day 6, and then they stopped doing that one. Another person talked about collecting airsick bags. So instead of bringing home souvenirs, which is a common traveling practice, this person just collected airsick bags on the flights they would use. Why would you want a refrigerator magnet from Philadelphia or a small statue of Michelangelo's David from Florence when you can have an airsick bag and write on it all the things you did at the places you went? Another thing that came up was someone took up this sport of extreme ironing. Now, you're not going to believe this, but if you Google extreme ironing, there's YouTube videos of people ironing in like rivers, and they're holding the board, and like people going down ski lifts and ironing at the same time. And it wasn't even one of those AI videos I made. It's like them actually doing it, because these videos are from a long time ago before AI used it. Why would you want to rappel down a mountain when you can iron in a river instead? Anyway, so extreme ironing. So there's some silly New Year's resolutions that exist in the world. Or maybe you want to read a lot of books. I know, again, being on social media, there's always those people that are like, I read 100 books this year. And I just cannot fathom how you can read a book in every 3.65 days. Or 3.65 days in a quarter, if you're thinking about how many days are actually in a year. And I thought maybe if like I count all the books that I read to my children at nighttime, I could read 100. Like, that counts, right? Is that what they mean when they read 100 books? Anyways, whatever you want to do with your New Year's resolution, a recent research suggests that as many as 45% of Americans, this is an American study, say they usually make New Year's resolutions. So that's like less than half of the people. And while 45% make resolutions, only 8% are successful in achieving them. So if we think 8% of 45% is like 3-point-something% of the population, so of people actually like make and follow through on resolutions. And so they're not really like, even though we like talking about them, or maybe we don't like talking about them, I don't know. We not very many people follow through on these ideas of like changing something in the new year or resolving to do something in the new year. And then the internet will quickly tell you that the way you achieve them is by making small changes and not taking on something big, but something little. Anyways, I had to think about some of my New Year's resolutions they would be, because I'm talking about New Year's resolutions. And so the two I kind of came up with were, one, I want to wear my night guard more. Does anyone have a night guard? I joined the night guard club in 2024. I should have put that in the video, like just popping it in and like trying to talk with it in. That's what I should have done. And so far in 2025, I'm batting at 50%. It's pretty good. Pretty good. And then also, again, as I mentioned a bit last year, I really focused 2024 on this idea of rest and what it means to Sabbath better and more. And so in 2025, I really do hope that I understand this idea of rest more, resting from social media, resting from my phone, and just aiming to be present in the situations I'm in and not distracted by all that's around me. Again, so maybe you have thought of New Year's resolutions. Maybe you've thought about things that you would like to do. Some people pick New Year's resolutions around health and wellness. Some people want to exercise regularly. Some people want to prioritize their sleep. Some people want to just eat more mindfully of how they're doing and what they're eating. And some people want to practice stress management. So our health and wellness is generally a topic of New Year's resolutions. Alternatively, some people might choose that, and some people might want to focus more on personal growth and learning. Maybe you want to set a target number of books you'd like to read, and it could be 100. Maybe you can read 100 children's books this year. Or not children's books. Maybe you want to learn a new skill or hobby. You want to take up surfing like I did in 2024. Or maybe it's learning a new instrument, learning to cook new recipes, or exploring photography. Engaging in a new activity can be rewarding for us as we learn and grow and change. Or maybe you want to pursue personal development, taking courses, attending workshops, listening to podcasts, There's things to do that. While some pick health and wellness, some pick personal growth and learning, others want to focus more on resolutions that involve our financial goals. Creating or updating our budgets, saving for specific goals, paying off debt. Financial peace is another idea of how we can adapt or change. While some choose that, some choose to nurture relationships in their social life. Others view their career and productivity and choose goals or resolutions that revolve around that. While others embrace maybe mental and emotional well-being, others choose sustainability and environment and reflect how they can do better in those areas about reducing their waste and conserving energy. Some people want to travel more and go on adventures, while others want more mindfulness and reflection on their years. And then others pick resolutions that revolve around spirituality and purpose. People want to cultivate spiritual practices. They want to dedicate time to prayer, meditation, or the other spiritual practices and disciplines we talk about that help us feel grounded and connected to God and to our values and to our faith. People want to explore their purposes, why God has us here in this space. What are we made for? What are we here to do? And others want to maybe even give back to their community. And this idea of a spiritual branch of New Year's resolutions, this idea of like exploring spirituality and who we are and how we relate to God, is something that is common in people's New Year's resolutions. And this spirituality branch of New Year's resolutions rings true through the history of New Year's resolutions. So here is a very brief history. What hit the next slide, Krista? A very brief history. Oh, that's too much. Oh, did it jump on me? Back one. Yeah. A very brief history of New Year's resolutions. So historians believe that the New Year's resolutions began with the ancient Babylonians. So here's some fun Jeopardy knowledge for you. The ancient Babylonians are said to have been the first people to make New Year's resolutions some 4,000 years ago. They were also the first to hold recorded celebrations in honor of the New Year. But note, their New Year did not begin in January. It began in mid-March. Does anyone have any idea why their New Year would have began in mid-March? Any thoughts? Time, sun, did I hear that? Any other ideas? Any other ideas? Good idea. I don't think it's the right one. Crops. I would have never guessed it either if I'd been asked. But crops. So the crops were planted in March, so they started the new year, a celebration of the new year with the planting of the crops. So there was a 12-day religious festival known as Akitu, where the Babylonians crowned a new king or reaffirmed their loyalty to the reigning king. And so then they also at this time made promises to the gods to pay their debts and return any objects they had borrowed. So some people consider these promises to the gods the beginning of our New Year's resolutions. Now, shift 1,500 years or so, 2,000 years, we get the Roman practice. So a similar practice occurred in Rome after the reform-minded emperor Julius Caesar tinkered with the calendar and established January 1st as the beginning of the new year. Also, just a random note, January was named for Janus, who is the two-faced Roman god whose spirit inhabited doorways and arches. That's just what my notes said. I don't know why that's important at all. Jeopardy fact. So January had special significance for the Romans because they believed Janus symbolically looked backwards, like the framed door, into the previous year and ahead into the future. And so the Romans offered sacrifices to Janus and made promises of good conduct for the coming year. Now, very like pagan and not how we would understand New Year's resolutions. But then John Wesley came around and created what is called the Covenant Renewal Service. So John Wesley wrote a covenant prayer, which we're going to pray later together. But he then designed a service called, the Covenant Renewal Service, which is commonly used in religious contexts, especially in Christianity, to refer to the practice of renewing one's commitment or relationship to God through a spiritual ceremony or service. And so this concept, this service, is rooted in the biblical area of reaffirming our commitment to God. So it's the idea that worshipers would make a conscious decision to renew our personal relationship with God, often with a focus of obedience, faithfulness, and trust in Him for the following year. It would be about repentance and forgiveness. Many services would emphasize asking for forgiveness for past mistakes and striving to live more faithfully in the future. It was also a service where prayer and worship was involved. It would typically involve communal prayer, songs, scripture readings, and sermons focusing on this idea of covenant renewal. And in some denominations, the service may involve communion or other sacraments as a way of deepening the believer's connection to Christ and his sacrifice. John Wesley, in his Methodist denomination, he would hold these service on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day as a way for individuals to begin the new year with a renewed commitment to God. And participants were encouraged and allowed to surrender themselves to God's will, reflecting on the ideas of humility and dedication to him. So the spiritual lives of people have been an aspect of resolutions for years and years and years. How we choose to live our spiritual lives have been a part of choosing objects or focusing on the new year and what we hope to do. And when it comes to Christianity, when we think of New Year's resolutions in our spiritual lives, it's pretty easy to think about them in terms of, like, what spiritual disciplines am I going to follow this year? Whether you read John Mark Comer, who's talking about spiritual discipline right now a lot, or Dallas Willard, who talked about it a couple decades ago, or Richard Foster, or Kant, or Jesus, this idea of spiritual practices and disciplines have been with us through the ages. We have always learned and known and talked about them, even if we talk about them just a little bit differently depending on who we hear talk about them. And I'm sure some of you could preach sermons on specific spiritual disciplines or practices through your own experiences with them. What one can teach us on prayer and using prayer as an opportunity to talk with and listen to God, another may be able to teach us on rest and Sabbath. And what one can teach us on rest and Sabbath may be able to teach us on solitude and pulling away, and what someone teaches on that can teach us maybe on fasting. I imagine as a community of believers, we're not all pros at all of them. So when we think of growing, when we think of our new year and the idea of practices and disciplines, there are probably some of those we can choose to commit to this year that would provide us with a growth in our love of God, our love of each other, and the love of our neighbor. I mentioned very briefly last week that we are always being formed. And not only are we always being formed, we've already been formed. We're formed by the stories we believe. The story we live in is the story we live out. Our habits have formed us, as well as our relationships. And so we are constantly being formed by what is happening around us, and we choose at times what is happening around us and how we engage and interact with it. And so this new year, when it comes to my spiritual development, when it comes to my relationship with God, I'm trying to ask, what am I allowing to form me? But then also, I'll be asking God, how do you, God, want to form me? Which can be a tricky thing to figure out the answer to that. How do we know what God wants for us? How do we choose God-honoring practices, intentions, resolutions, whatever you want to call it looking into a new year? And is it worth it to choose things for our lives that God wants to choose for us? Why involve God in the decisions we make? The Alpha Course has resources. The Alpha resources have a discussion on these ideas. They say that God promises to guide us, that God has a good plan for our lives. And then these Alpha resources, they explore how God guides us in our decision-making. The Alpha curriculum proposes 5 ways that God guides his people. The first way they say that God guides his people is through commanding scripture. They all have C's. I didn't realize this until I put it on the slide. So a bunch of C's coming at you. Which is the idea that there's a general will and understanding of the Bible. The Bible, there are clear instructions at times in the Bible about certain things. The Bible tells us quite clearly some ideas about work and about money and about children and relatives. And there's a primary calling in the Bible that none of us would deny, that we are called to love God, to love one another, to love our neighbor, and to become like Jesus. So when we think about how God guides us, if we think God is guiding us, but it doesn't line up with what we know the scripture teaches us, if it does not guide us in that it increases our ability to love him or others or become like Jesus, it's probably not God guiding us in that way. Another way God guides people or God guides us in our decision-making is with a compelling spirit. We believe that God speaks to us as we pray. Prayer is both asking and talking and revering God, but it's also listening to God as well. As Christians, we believe that. We believe that God works as we pray, and he speaks to us as we pray. We also believe there's a strong desire to do something. God has a strong desire to do something. We read in Philippians that God works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And sometimes on this idea of a compelling spirit, God works in ways that are unusual and don't really make sense to us. We read in the Bible about prophecy. We read about dreams, and we read about visions and pictures. Through Advent, we tell the story of Mary and Joseph, who both got visited by an angel and spoke to them. There are situations in the Bible where God does guide us in more unusual ways. And I also know that that's not common for all of us. It's not common for a lot of us. And if we look in the Bible, these stories are few and far between. There's more stories where God doesn't speak in this extravagant way. I know even when I think of, we talk about calling as pastors, and like, what is our calling to be a pastor? And some people, everyone's story is different. Some people do have an audible understanding, an audible voice of being called to be a pastor, to be called to do this thing specifically. And some of our callings are more general, aren't as audible, aren't as direct. I remember when I worked at Brentview for a few years down in Calgary, when I interned there, Dave Spate was the pastor at the time. And I remember just like talking to him when I first started, and he just said he felt called specifically to Brentview for a specific purpose. And so it was neat seeing him live out that purpose and seeing the change that he felt called to do before anything else happened on that situation or anything else like outside happened. And so he felt that very clear, audible call. And sometimes we have those calls. Sometimes we have that guidance, and other times we don't. Another way that God guides us is with the Council of the Saints. Pastor Tyler talked about this a little bit last week in the idea that we are a community to bounce ideas off one another. We are a community to work together. And we know, reading even the wisdom literature, that the wise listen to advice. Or we should make plans by seeking advice. And then obviously, as we talk about this, there's a need for testing, like, is it in line with the Bible? Is it loving what we want to do? Is it strengthening, encouraging, or comforting? And does it bring the peace of God? Ultimately, we're responsible for our decisions, but I think it is a blessing to be able to engage with one another, to talk about the decisions we are making. Another way Alpha suggests is that it also comes down to common sense. John Stott wrote, God's promises of guidance were not given to us to save us the problem of thinking. Our brains are neat. God created them. And common sense should be involved in our understanding of what God guides us to. And then lastly, Alpha talks about circumstantial signs. Romans 8, we read, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We believe that sometimes God closes doors. Sometimes God opens doors, and these can be circumstantial signs for us to trust God despite the circumstances we're in. Lastly, on this idea of God's guiding us this new year, I just want to mention that maybe sometimes God doesn't particularly care about the exact specifics of the things that we choose to do or want to do or intend to do in 2025. Hear me out. Maybe God doesn't desire us to do one specific thing. He just wants us to make a choice, anything that more aligns us with him and his will and aligns us with the way that Jesus modeled us to live and to love. Spiritual disciplines, choosing to grow this year, picking up habits that are beneficial to you and your relationship with God and to your neighbors and to others, eliminating something from your life as opposed to adding a resolution to do something. Whatever you want to call it, or however you want to frame it, or however you want to think about it, maybe God just wants to make sure you're not the same in January 2026 as you are right now in January 2025. For some of us, the change over the next year may be large. For some of us, that change might be little. And reflecting back on last year, it's easier to see in reflection where God has been at work. As we all reflect back, I imagine we've all changed as well. As mentioned earlier, we're all being formed, and we have been formed over the last year. For some of us, the change over the past year may have been large. Maybe you had an advancement in your knowledge and understanding about something. Maybe you are now more able to control your temper than you were a year ago. Maybe you've seen God heal relationships in your lives and brokenness, and you feel inspired about how he's at work in the world. And while it might feel large for some, for others, the change we experienced or feel over the last year might only be slight. Maybe you were just happy to survive 2024. And by surviving, maybe your hope grew even a tiny bit about the good God has planned for you in the future. The passage read today by Heidi was Psalm 1. It says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked, for they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish." Psalm 1 speaks about two paths in life, the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. The righteous are described as those who delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, yielding fruit in season, and the leaves do not wither. And in contrast, we read that the wicked are compared to chaff that the wind blows away. The psalm emphasizes the importance of rootedness in God's word and living in alignment with his will. But not only that, it talks about the idea of delighting in the law of the Lord. To delight in the law of the Lord is to find joy and fulfillment in the very heart of God's guidance for us in our lives, in the very heart of God's wisdom. It's not about following rules, taking on New Year's resolutions for the sake of compliance, but about seeing God's commands and suggestions and guidance as pathways to deeper life and flourishing. This delight should then lead to meditation and to transformation, filling our lives with a renewed purpose, with peace, and the capacity and strength to live in alignment with what God wants for us, to love him more, to love our neighbors more, and to love each other more. And so as we think about 2025, as we approach this new year, my prayer is that we all can embrace that mindset, knowing that resolutions or intentions or goals or plans we have for this next year can be grounded in the wisdom of God's word, and they can lead us to lasting joy and godly transformation as we are choosing to be formed in a way that is God-honoring and asking God to help us understand how we are to be formed going into 2025. To close before communion, I'm going to pray John Wesley's covenant prayer. Pray with me. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you or set aside for you, praised for you or criticized for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and fully surrender all things to your glory and service. And now, O wonderful and holy God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer, you are mine, and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it also be made in heaven. Amen.